live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
John chapter 11, the story of Lazarus is one of those examples of when Jesus just wants to show off. He has a group of people that he cares about that he has to reveal the truth to. And he's going to use someone that he loves. He's going to use someone that is close to him. He's going to use someone that has an intimate relationship with him to prove that point. And when we hear that and when we think that and when we see that, we get excited like, yes, use me, until we see what it means. Until we get in the meat of it and realize that, man, this can suck sometimes, right? And so that's what we're going to get into today. So if you're there, say amen to John chapter 11. Awesome. If you're not there, say, stop. Okay, we're good. John chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. And when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read the Bible, I get confused, right? And it's not just like the theological stuff or like when the Greek translates to the English. It's not even any of that. It's just if you read John chapter 10, that whole chapter was John describing Jesus doing miracles, right? Jesus feeds 5,000. Jesus heals the royal official's son. Jesus does all these amazing miracles for complete strangers. The official's son was one where he comes, it's almost the exact same. He comes to Jesus, he says, my son is sick, he's going to die. And Jesus says, no, he is not. And as soon as that happens, the Roman official's father, or the Roman official turns around and goes back and they say, what happened? Because he's okay now. And he realized that as soon as Jesus said it, he was healed. And so we fast forward to John chapter 11, one chapter later, and he said he loved him so much, he loved Lazarus so much that when he knew he was sick, he said, don't worry, it's not a big deal. Let's just hang out here for a while. I don't know about you, but that's not what I signed up for, right? Let's get real. If you love me and I get sick, I remember when Brittany and I first started dating, I was going to cook her this really opulent, extravagant dinner, right? And I got all the fixings, and I had it ready, and I had to cut up some onions. So I bought this brand new food slicer, and I was slicing up these, but it was a tough onion, and so I had to get a little leverage on it. And when I did it, I sliced, and as soon as I did it, I'm like, I just cut off my thumb. And I didn't want to look down because I knew I was going to see my thumb just laying on the food slicer. And so I looked, and blood just kind of hit the ceiling, and it was awful. And I'm looking around like, okay, part of my thumb is here somewhere. And so, like, I put it back, and I'm like, oh, it'll be fine. We'll just, like, tape it on. And that didn't work either. And so I'm like, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. And so I'm driving to the hospital, my thumb wrapped in paper towels above my head, thinking I'm going to pass out from blood loss from a thumb cut. So I'm like, I got to call Brittany and tell her, one, that I'm sick, but two, if I die, she's got to come up with a much better reason to put in my obituary than loss of thumb blood. And so I'm driving. I promise you this is the truth. So I'm driving to Holzer, thumb above my head. I don't know what people are thinking. And I'm like, baby, I'm going to the hospital. She's like, why? I cut my thumb. You, huh? She knows that I'm stubborn. I don't go to the hospital for anything. You cut your thumb, and now this is an emergency? So, no, I cut my thumb off. And, oh, okay. And so she meets me there. It was actually the first time she met my dad, too, which was an awkward thing. But what happened? She dropped everything. That was a really long story to get to my point, right? She dropped everything, and came running to the hospital because someone she cared about was hurt. I just, you know, I have a little scar, but it really isn't that bad. And she dropped everything and came. This was someone that Jesus loved, that he cared about, was on the verge of death. We expect Jesus to stop everything and just go running. Or at the very least, just speak it and heal him. But none of that happened. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get mad when I read my Bible. Right? That's not how that's supposed to work. You love me, you say this, and then it happens, right? But what happens when Jesus wants to use us? It doesn't always go the way we want it to. Thank you. Three of you listened earlier and are with me. We'll get through this. All right. Verse 8, it says, "But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "And there are not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. And so one thing we need to understand, that our perspective is not his perspective. The things that are final for us are eternal for him. The things that we seem like we can never come back from, that we seem like this are this huge stumbling block or this huge problem, are just a speed bump for Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've had some speed bumps that seemed like mountains. Amen? All right, 6 of you are with me, right? I've had some things that I saw. There's no way I can overcome this. I have disqualified myself from Christianity. I have disqualified myself for ever being used. I have disqualified myself from ever having an influence and an impact. And Jesus said, "Listen, it's just a speed bump for me." All right, 8 of you. All right, we're getting better. We're getting better. I promise it'll get good. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." I'm not even going to touch that, but Thomas. Gonna love it. We're all going to die too. Come on, Jesus, let's do it. That was a joke. Man. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. How many know that after 4 days, you start to be funky, right? Yeah, okay. Some of you, it's not quite 4 days. I'm just, okay. All right. "Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said to Jesus, 'if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even God will give you whatever you ask.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.'" You know, if you've been in church at any amount of time, we get this religious attitude about how Jesus should answer our prayers, right? Like, you know, "Oh, I'm going through something. Oh, well, God will bless you, my son." Huh? I'm hungry. Give me $10 so I can get some food, right? Like, we get this attitude, this air of how Jesus is going to do things in our life. We have this, we put Jesus in this religious box, and if his blessing or his plan doesn't fit in our understanding, we don't quite get it. Maybe you don't understand. For years and years, there was no nation of Israel. And for hundreds of years, people tried to explain it like, well, he didn't really mean a physical nation. God was talking about like a bunch of people being alive. And so for hundreds of years, people were saying, no, God didn't really mean there's going to be a nation of Israel, until after World War II, when a nation was brought up in the middle of a hostile territory. And everybody's like, well, you see, what we really meant was there was going to be, but I don't know about you, but I experience that all the time with Christians, right? We have this attitude. Well, what Jesus really meant was, well, guess if he said it, he meant it. And if he meant it, he said it. If he said it, it's going to happen for you. And we have to have this attitude that if it happened for you, it can happen for me, but I can't envy what you have. I'm going to sow into your blessing. If you have something I want, I don't just want to like, oh, those jerks, they're rubbing it in my face. No, how'd you get it? And let me bless you. And let me celebrate in your blessing, because if he can do it for you, then he can do it for me. Amen. Oh, we're getting better. That was like 25 people. All right, we are on it. Yes. Then Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. After she said this, she went back and called to her sister Mary. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. Now, she just said, I believe you are the Messiah. Hey, Mary, the teacher's here, right? What we say to the people that we try to impress, how we react to people, what we address them as, and then what we say in closed doors cannot be different. And if I want something from you, or if you have something that I need, how I see you is a direct reflection on if I can get it or not. I'm not saying this to disparage anybody or put anybody down, but one of the things that is important to me is to refer to Pastor Rob as Pastor Rob. And again, if you don't do that, I am in no way condemning you at all. Please do not hear this. But for me personally, my pastor has something that I need. And for me to get it from him, I have to receive him. I have to not necessarily put him on a pedestal, but recognize his position. Is that all? Hello? Right? My mother and father have things that I need, and if I don't see them and respect them in the position that they are in, they can never give those to me. If they're my friends, they can't give me the things that I need. They can't give me discipline. They can't give me boundaries. They can't provide for me those things that are so key, because if I don't see them as my parents, then I can't receive what they have for me. Thank you. That is good. I'll say that again. God treats things in parables, right? Jesus teaches in parables. And he says, there's a treasure in a field. And for you to get the treasure, you have to buy the field, right? I've preached that before. And guess what? Each of you has a treasure. So if God has, I'm going to come down and talk to you because you're looking at me. If God has something for you, he doesn't put it inside of you. He puts it inside of other people. When God wants to give you favor, he doesn't give the favor to you. He gives favor for you to other people. When there's a promotion for you, he doesn't say, all right, Chris, I'm going to promotion inside of you. No, no, no. He goes to your boss and puts a favorable of opinion on your boss because you have been faithful in your work. And the promotion doesn't lie in you. It lies in your boss. Thank you. And there's a blessing. There are blessings inside of people that you don't respect. You don't look at the way you should. You don't have the right opinion of. And you will never get the treasure inside of them because you can't receive that. When you look at them, you don't see the person that God called them to be. You see their stuff. You see their dirt. You see their field. Maybe you see somebody who's an alcoholic. You say, you can never talk to me. You can never bless me. If I touch you, I might get it. Ugh. This attitude that the church has that we got to stay out of the world because we might get the world on us is ridiculous. It's why we don't have an impact. But if I know your stuff, guess what? I know your testimony because I know my stuff. I know the problems that I have and I still struggle with, and God still uses me every day. And if I would give in to him and submit to him even more, my impact would be even higher. But I want to tell you something, that we have to stop looking at people in their field and start seeing their treasure. Thank you. That might have been the whole room right there. That was good. Now you're following me. Now I'm going to get you happy. Okay. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along were also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And again, I don't know about you, but I know that there are times when Jesus feels like he's this far off person. That when I'm in the middle of my situation, and I probably put myself there, but when I'm in the middle of my situation, when I'm in the middle of my problem, when I'm in the middle of my heartache, he feels so far away. But this proves that he is moved by your emotion. He is broken by your brokenness. He weeps with your weeping. He hurts with your hurt. He is an intimate person that is head over heels in love with you. And this set up the shortest verse in the Bible. It says Jesus wept. And he didn't weep because Lazarus was dead, because he knew what was going to happen. He knew what he came to do, but he wept because his friends, the people he loved, the people he cared about were hurting. And we have a message for the world that says you are broken, you are crying, you are not whole, there is brokenness in you. And we have an answer, and his name is Jesus. And he is so head over heels in love with you that when you are broken, he is broken. He's not this angry father that's here to just bump you on the head or kick you while you're down. But when you're down, he is weeping with you and his tears are falling on you. And he just wants to reach down and pick you back up and set you and pat you on the bottom and say, "Let's go. Hold my hand. We're going together." But there's an attitude that we have to have. There's a perspective that we have to have. And it has to be a personal relationship. I can't tell you how great Jesus is if I've never experienced it before in my life. I can't tell you that he weeps when I weep if I haven't experienced it before in my life. And some people in here need to trust and need to have an attitude change that he is broken when you're broken, and he's going to take your situation and turn it around, and there is going to be a miracle that comes from your heartache if you just believe. And we're going to get into that. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some others said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" You got to love Christians who are always there to help, right? Yep, God could have helped you, but he didn't. Probably some sin in your life you need to look at, right? Now, what are you doing that's blocking the blessing of Jesus? Right? Oh, I know them. Yeah, they're here on Sunday morning, but Saturday night, woo! Now, we won't get into how you saw them Saturday night, but we'll just leave that alone, right? But Christians love. We are better than anybody at sacrificing our own, right? We treat people like horses, that as soon as they come up lame, just pow, blow them away, and just dig a hole right where they're at and bury them. Maybe I'm the only one who's seen it, right? Well, sorry. You gave your life to Jesus. Now grace is done for you. Better not screw up again. Or if you do, hide it really, really well. Right? I've never been in a hospital where people get angry at other people for being sick. Oh, can you believe they brought their person with pneumonia to the hospital? Oh, those jerks. But we do the same thing at church, right? Oh, that hooker came into church. Did you see what she's wearing? Oh my gosh. He was at Summerfield's last night and he came to church. Oh my God. Now he's singing? Mm-hmm. Help him, Lord, right? You may not say it, but you all think it, because I do too sometimes. It's an attitude. Let's be real, right? Let's be real. Thank you. Six of you are honest. The rest of you? Mm-hmm. That's right. We all have our issues. We all have our problems. And if you followed me all day, every day, you would not let me come and preach to you. And if I followed you all day, every way, I would not let you come to my house, let alone preach, right? Come on, let's be real. You guys see my gifting. You see my ability. I see your best. It's easy to look good for 2 hours, right? It's easy to look good for a couple hours and hide all my stuff. But what about those times when Brittany and I have a fight over something stupid that I'm mad about coming into church? And then she's mad at me, I'm mad at her, and then we walk through the door, yes, yes, Father, blessed and holy, oh, baby, right? We've all done it. I've never done it because we don't fight. Shh, Brittany, shh. You know, this leads me to my next point, that if you are newly Christian, or if you became a Christian because someone told you that your life was going to be forever changed to the point that it's easy, that you know, you will never have another care in your life, you have been lied to. God never promised a life without problems. God never promised a life without struggle. But what he promised was that if you believe in him or not, you're going to have issues. If you believe in him or not, you're going to have trials. But if you believe in him and have a relationship with him, we can trust that no matter what happens, he will take it and turn it around. You know, I had my uncle was a pastor at a church, South Canaan Baptist. And he was talking on Revelation. And he was given evidence on the different, you know, some people believe that the rapture happens before the tribulation or middle of the tribulation or after the tribulation. Doesn't really matter. But the point was, he was talking that it's possible that the rapture happens after the tribulation. And a gentleman who had been in this church for 40 years probably stands up and says, if I being a Christian isn't going to get me out of the tribulation, then what's the point? And I think so. And I was like, woo, 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 woo. But all of us have an attitude like that sometimes, right? God, I didn't deserve this. God, I didn't sow for this. God, I tithe faithfully, I give faithfully, and I can't pay my bills. I didn't. What's the point? The point is that heaven is a birthright. Heaven is a gift. Heaven is something that by having a relationship, we were all created and destined for. A relationship with Jesus is what makes this life have an impact and what makes this life have an impression. I'm sorry if you've been lied to and you were told that a relationship with Christ is the easy road. It is to an extent, but there are going to be issues. A relationship with Christ might mean you have to stare down a fiery furnace. We just had that Rachel thing. A relationship with Christ might mean you have to have a shotgun pointed at your face and say, do you believe or do you not believe? A relationship with Christ might mean when you pick up your cross and carry it, you're not carrying it. The cross didn't mean then what it means now. The cross was the same as the electric chair or a firing squad, that you're carrying your means of death with you, knowing that eventually you're going to put the electric chair down, plug it in, and sit on it. An attitude. And if I love Jesus, and it goes more than just what I get in heaven, and if it goes more than just a reward, but it is a love affair with my daddy and a love affair with my husband or my wife, I am the bride of Christ, right? With a love affair with my husband that I'm willing to sacrifice, that I understand what that means. But if it's something that I do because my parents made me do it, or I did it when I was a kid, or whatever it is, if it's not real to you, it will never stand the test of fire. If it's not real to you, it will never. We're so afraid of what our friends think. Forget that. I don't know about you. There are times I'm afraid of what complete strangers think. How ridiculous is that? I might have told you this other times that I've preached. I'll tell you it again. It's a good story, and it's at my expense. So, but I had just gone to a conference talking about healing and prayer and how we need to be bold. And I'm like, yes, God, use me to touch people. I was ready, right? I'm ready to just lay hands on everybody. Let's do this. I'm going to lay some feet. I'm going to let my shadow walk over people to see what happens, right? I was ready. I didn't even have my shadow walk. It's more of a sachet, but whatever. The point is, I was ready. And so I go to get gas at this gas station, and I'm getting ready to pay, and the cashier just goes, I'm like, oh, that's a really heavy sigh there. And she's like, yeah, I just don't feel really good. And God said, pray for her. I said, God, no. And he said, y'all laughing like you ain't done this before either. I said, and God said, pray for her. I said, but God, no. And God said, pray for her. I said, but God, there are people behind me. He said, pray for her. And like in the line at the gas station, I'm arguing with God. And God, it ain't happening. But God, I wanted to do it, but not when people were around, right? I wanted in the silence. What if you don't do it? Like if you don't heal her, I'll feel really bad for you. Right? We rationalize it in our heads, all these ways that, all these reasons why we shouldn't do it. And I didn't. Then I prayed and she was out and hundreds of people were saved and it was just revival, but that's not what happened. I went to my car, didn't pray for her, and it ate me up. And I felt like poop because I could have had the treasure of her healing. God could have placed her miracle inside of me, and because of my disobedience, she missed out. And there are times that you're going to pray for people and nothing's going to happen that you feel, but something happens in the supernatural. There is something about obedience. There is something about failing that you feel like that you just put yourself under, and then God knows that you have been baptized by fire because you have put yourself behind in order to touch someone else. Thank you. We're getting to the really good stuff now. Verse 38, Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. This is where I get so excited. Because Jesus isn't afraid of the things that stink in your life. He's not afraid of your, maybe that's the only one that gets me excited. He's not afraid of your mess. So there are times I come into church and I'm like, God, you know what I've done this week. There's no way you can touch me, but he's not afraid of your mess. He's not afraid of your garbage. The fact that you're here is an opportunity for him to touch you. You're never so far gone that he can't touch you. You're never so far gone that he can't bring you back. Even in death, let's change it. We're all dead, right? We're all going to die one day or another. We just don't know when it is. But what are we living for right now? He's not afraid of your mess. He's not afraid of your situation. That's right. Baby's testifying. Verse 40 says, then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And this is why we have to know the word. This is what really motivated me to start this challenge. Because there are times in our lives when we go through things that we can't call Pastor Rob, or we can't call our friend, or we can't call whoever, and there's time that you're going to be standing by yourself, having to make a decision either this way or that. When I was standing in line, if I'd have had some of you with me, I'm sure I'd have felt bold as a lion to pray for her, right? But there are times when you're stuck by yourself in the line of the Go-Mart, and God is asking you to do something. And if you don't have it deep in here, if you don't truly know that you know that you know that you're willing to step out, you'll never step out. If I'm afraid to step out at the Go-Mart, what else am I afraid to do for him? Because the word has to be personal. The word has to be in here. In the beginning was the word. The word was. And the word was. The word was God. The word was with God. Jesus is the word. In order for me to know Jesus, I have to know the. Thank you. That was good. Audience participation. That was nice. And you have to know that God is not a liar. And the only way for you to know that God is not a liar is to know what exactly he said. Some of you are knocking on the door of your breakthrough. Jesus has left where he is. He is on the way. He is standing outside of your tomb, and he is ready to call it forth. but you gave up. You stopped waiting. You thought it was never going to happen for you. You just, I've been doing this long enough and it's just not happening. I'm telling you right now, Jesus is moved by your hurt. He is moved by your situation. He is on the verge of bringing back those things in your life that you thought were dead. There are people in here that are gifted vocalists that you just gave it up and you said, it's not for me. He's going to bring that back. There are people in here who have the ability to attract wealth. It's just in you that God is going to lift it up and use it so that you can use it. But are you faithful in the little things so that he can bless you and promote you and show off for you for his glory? I don't know about you, but I want God to use me to show off even though it's not always fun because it brings glory to my daddy. And I am so head over heels in love with my dad. Right? When we're kids, there's nothing like our daddy. Right? There's nobody stronger than my daddy. There's nobody smarter than my daddy. Well, guess what? That's true with my heavenly daddy. There is no one stronger. There is no one smarter. There is no one better. And he's got my back. And guess what? He doesn't always do it the way I think he should. But he always does. What's that old song? You know, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. There are gifts in this room that have laid dormant and dead for so long that Jesus wants to bring forth. When you look in the mirror, you may not see it, but there are treasures inside of you because you have been lied to by the enemy. All you see is your dirt. All you see is your situation. All you see is your circumstance. But when God looks inside of you, he sees those treasures that he put inside of you before the foundation of the earth, that he is about to call on them and bring them forth and bring them out of you. It gets me excited because I got some gifts that I haven't tapped into yet. I have some gifts that I haven't quite maximized their impact yet. And I promised God that I'm going to do everything I can to never let the Gomart situation happen because I want to be faithful. I want to be able to step out. I want him to be able to trust me with the gift that he's given me. And guess what? If you're not going to use yours, he can give it to me. I'll use mine because there's a problem. Gifted people, guess what? People want to tear you down, but it doesn't matter because Jesus has appointed you. He has set you apart. There is no one like you. There never has been. There never will be. You were given an appointment that no one else has been given. You can do things that no one else can do. You can touch people that no one else can touch. Will you let him use you? Will you let him show off, even if it means you have to die? Will you let him show off, even if it means that you have to get uncomfortable? Will you let him show off, even if it means you're carrying around your electric chair or your cross with you? Will you let him show off, even if it means you have to look at a fiery furnace and jump in, believing that you're going to live, but understanding that if you don't, you still praise him? Because this life is but a flicker, it's but a moment when we look at eternity. I've preached the house down and Lazarus isn't even alive yet. Man, just kidding, I love you guys, this is awesome. Verse 41, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I love the simplicity of this prayer. And if we look back at the Lord's Prayer, he says, our Father who art in heaven, he establishes relationship. So many of us, I know I did for so long, that when I went to pray to God, I was already so convicted of all the crap that I had done. I was pretty sure he wasn't going to hear me anyway. But if I went to him, if I did it with fear and trembling, that might help him look at me and not want to just smite me. So I'd come like, oh God, oh Father, I'm so sorry. But he's our daddy. And when Jesus doesn't go in this big opulent old King James prayer, thou wast gracious, Father, thine is the blessing of, like what? You know, he doesn't go into all the names of God, like you are Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah, right? He says, Father, I thank you that you hear me. He establishes relationship because he understands God wants to bless you. He takes joy in blessing you. He takes joy in being a part of every aspect of your life. He hears every prayer you have, and he doesn't always answer the prayers exactly how we think he should or the way it makes sense to us. But all things, say it with me, all things work for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people. I just skip ahead. Yeah, verse 42, I'm sorry. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me, because your prayers never fall on deaf ears. Sometimes, like Daniel, there's something going on in our lives that we can't see or we can't touch that are holding things back. But when Daniel asked, the second he asked for it, it was released by God. God hears every prayer you pray. He sees every tear that you cry. And sometimes God lets us go through things so that he can show off. Look at Job. Job didn't deserve anything. But God said, have you considered my servant Job? Sometimes when God wants to use you to show off, you're going to have some loss in your life. But like Job, God will redeem everything that you've lost. In verse 43, when he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Come on. We can get some music playing right now. Maybe you're like Lazarus and you know that God has raised you from the dead. That whatever situation you were in, whatever lifestyle you were living, you were dead and gone, and God lifted you up and brought you out of it, but you're still carrying those grave clothes. Everywhere you walk, you're still dragging that old stuff. That old stuff that resembles that old life and those old issues, that they're still, it's like this chain that you're dragging around with you. It's that identity that people still see you as that drug addict, still see you as that alcoholic, still see you as that whatever. Jesus says, take them off. Because what he has for you, what he has propelled you to, what he has designed you to do, there's no place for those things. He doesn't see you as those things. The world wants to. The world tries to define you like that. But the devil is a liar. You are not your situation. You are not your issues. Take off those grave clothes. Take off those grave clothes. And it's time to stop walking around like the dead men that are all around us. As Christians, we're no longer dead. As Christians, I have the Christ, the hope of glory, the one who strengthens me. I know that I know that I know that there's a future for me. And I don't know about you, but that's flipping awesome. That's the best news I could ever have in my life, and it's not a secret. It's not this thing that I should hide deep down and hope that, and only bring it out when other Christians, hey, look, it's like this secret decoder ring, right, that we can only show around other Christians. Oh, you got one? Oh, no, sorry. No, I'm not a Christian. Nope. Just like you. Oh, you're a Christian. Yeah, look at this. Want to do a Bible study? But just text it to me, because we don't want anybody to know, right? We don't want anybody to be made uncomfortable. We have the cure for death. Amen. We have the cure for death. There's a world outside of these walls that is going straight to hell. They're walking around like dead people, and we have the cure and the answer, and we are not doing anything to touch them or talk to them. You know, this thing about Athens County with this crocodile is just taking over everything. Well, if it's not that, it's something else. We have the key to beating drug addiction. We have the key to beating broken marriages and broken homes. We have the key to beating everything and anything the enemy can throw at us, but we can't hide it anymore. It's not a secret decoder ring. It's not like being in a fraternity where you have the secret handshake that allows us in the door. It's for everyone. And when everyone starts coming in, when you start telling the world about God, it means the world starts walking in. The world's issues come with them. We're going to have some people that don't smell like we want them to smell. They don't dress like we want them to dress. They don't talk like we want them to talk. But guess what? God loves them. He sent his son to die for them just like he did for you and for me. You know, I'm all for prosperity. I'm all for these messages that God wants to bless us, but it all comes back to the cross. Without the cross, it doesn't matter. Without the cross, there is no hope. Without the cross, we are not grafted into the kingdom with the Father. It all comes back to the cross. He died for you. He bore the punishment that you and I deserve. He took the torment and the beating and the abuse so we can have a healing in our physical bodies and we can live with him forever. But it can't be a secret that we take to the grave. It's got to be this burning passion, this burning desire that just comes out of us. When we see somebody that's hurting, that there's a compassion that comes out. When we drive by the road and we see someone who's holding a sign that says, veteran, I'm homeless, we don't just assume that they're going to take that $20 and go buy booze. Because guess what? I'm probably going to take $20 and go to McDonald's. Which is worse? Well, I get one less, you know, 20-piece chicken nugget. I think I will survive. I'm not held accountable. I need to be a good steward, absolutely. But when I bless somebody, it's not, it's on them what they do with it as long as I've asked God. How many times have you seen someone limping around where you thought, man, God, wouldn't it be cool if you used me? Well, go. And what if he doesn't? So what? They already think you're crazy, probably. They already think Christianity is a load of crap. And guess what? Guess what signs and miracles were for? The unbeliever. So we sit here in church and we try to pray and want to see people healed and want to see people blessed and God will do it. But guess what? He's not doing it for you. You know the truth. I know the truth. I've had the experience. But the world out there that is dying, inside and outside, physically and spiritually, God died for them and he wants to touch them. And as soon as you start doing the things out there, when you start laying hands on people out there and praying for people out there, you will see God move. Because that's what his word says and he cannot lie. If he said the grass was made of licorice, it would happen because he cannot lie. If we can have the prayer team come up. Verse 38 shows us that Jesus was angry because of the tyranny of death. And so many of us are born again, but we never leave the tomb. So many of us are born again, but we never leave the tomb. And if we do leave the tomb, we still take the grave clothes with us. You guys can come up front. My assignment and your assignment is to do greater things than what Jesus did. But I can't do it by myself. That's the key. Jesus had an unlimited a measure of everything, right? But I have a measure of grace. I have a measure of ability. I have a certain measure of talent. There are things that I can do, but together we can do greater things than Jesus did. That means we can pray for the dead and they can rise. That we can pray for the sick and they can be healed. But we have to do it together. I was raised from the dead when I was 7 years old. Not physically, but spiritually. It happened for me. And there's a date that hopefully is memorable for you where you were raised from the dead. And it was the greatest day of my life. I stopped being who I was and I started being who God created me to be. And he wants to reconnect with you. If it was so long ago you can't remember it or you stopped, whatever, he wants you to fall in love with him again. The goal of our life is not salvation, it is influence. Let me say that again. The goal of your life is not salvation, it is influence. You are designed and destined to have an impact in this world. But there's a difference. You can either leave a footprint in the sand that's just going to get washed away, or you can leave a meteor crater impact. But the decision is yours. I don't know about you, but I want some impacts, not just some impressions. Two of you, awesome. Well, we'll do it, right? The two of us, we'll leave an impact. So right now, I'm just going to open the altars. I've said probably more than I need to. What do you need? He is here for you. Can we turn the music up just a little bit? Do you need to rededicate your life to Jesus? Right now is the time. Have you never done it and you need to do it for the first time? Now is the time. Do you need an attitude change? Do you need boldness? Whatever you need. You need to take off some grave clothes, or have those grave clothes turn more like a ball and chain that you can't get rid of no matter how hard you try. It can happen. Or maybe you are just so dry. You've been going through the motions. You've been doing it out of duty because you really do care. You really do love him. But you just need an encounter with your daddy. You just need a hug by your father. Right now you can do that. We have the prayer team here. It wants to bless you. If anyone else, you want Linda, you want to help? No? Okay. All right. But now's the opportunity. These are open. The altar is open. And we just want to give you an opportunity. I just want to give you an opportunity. Whatever you need. It's here. He loves you. And he wants to touch you. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.